You're listening to SurgeCast, a podcast made specifically for busy general surgery residents.
Hey guys, welcome back to SurgeCast. So for those of you who've been following along this podcast with the SCORE topics, you're going to notice that SCORE does not have a specific topic for esophageal diverticula. But I can tell you that these are very frequently tested, and so we thought we would split them out and give you a little bit of more information, kind of basically covering those diverticula, and then we're going to follow that up with information about the SCORE topic of cricopharyngeal myotomy. One of these that's really, really highly tested is Zanker's diverticula. I can't think of a single year I've taken the APSITE and not had at least one question covering that. So we're going to start you off with kind of some basic facts and categorizations of these diverticula. So there are multiple ways to think about and classify diverticula. There's basically three types of esophageal diverticula, and they're largely classified by where they fall in the esophagus. So Zanker's diverticula fall in the upper esophagus. Anything in that middle third of the esophagus is called a parabronchial diverticula, and then the lower esophagus is the location for epiphrenic diverticula. But you can also think about diverticula based on their etiology. And so a pulsion diverticula, I kind of think of as a pushing diverticula, and that's due to force inside the esophagus pushing out against the area of weakness. And then there's the traction diverticula, which is due to forces outside of the esophagus pulling against the wall of the esophagus. And then finally, the last way that we like to classify these diverticula, just to really get really complicated for everybody, is whether they're true or false diverticula. And this is the same kind of nomenclature that you'll see for diverticula elsewhere in the GI tract. But a true diverticula involves all layers of the wall, and so in this case, all layers of the esophageal wall, versus a false diverticula involves only the mucosa and kind of spares the rest of the layers of the esophageal wall.
Great, yeah. So just kind of going through them, we're going to talk about three different types mainly of diverticula. So we'll talk about a parabronchial, epiphrenic, and then finally Zanker's. The parabronchial diverticula is, of the three, the only true one and the only one that's a traction one. These are usually found somewhere in the middle esophagus and oftentimes on the lateral sides. And so there's something else out there that is causing this kind of pull on the esophagus and causing all layers of that esophagus to come out laterally. And so that's usually some sort of inflammation or granulomatous tissue or even a tumor. And the way that these are diagnosed is through an esophagram or EGD. Oftentimes patients will come in complaining of regurgitation of undigested food or maybe even dysphagia. And in terms of treatment, it kind of just hinges really on treating the underlying disease process. So if they have no symptoms and there's really nothing that you can find there, then they don't necessarily need treatment. If they're symptomatic and there's no underlying disease process, then you can just do essentially a diverticulectomy and primary closure. But if there's something else going on, for instance, if there's invasive cancer, then you need to think about what you would do. So maybe radiation or chemotherapy, whatever that might be. The next one that we'll talk about then is an epiphrenic diverticula. Epiphrenic meaning just above the diaphragm at the distal end of the esophagus. This is the first of two false diverticula, and it's very rare. Probably the most common cause is some sort of motility disorder. So if you think about someone, for instance, with achalasia, there's a lot of pressure buildup there because the LES isn't functioning appropriately, and so that pressure leads to this type of pulsion diverticulum. As I said, these are usually located in the distal esophagus and, again, can be diagnosed via esophagram or EGD. Usually, folks will come in for something else. This was maybe found, incidentally. They weren't really having symptoms, but every once in a while, they do present with regurgitation or dysphagia. If they are symptomatic, then you can consider a diverticulectomy and esophageal myotomy. And again, that myotomy would be on the other side as a diverticula. But if they're asymptomatic, you can oftentimes just observe these.
So the last kind is the Zanker's diverticula. And right before we recorded this, Rahul and I were talking about this, and there's a couple points here that are very non-intuitive, and I think that's likely why they choose to test it so heavily on the APSITE. So first off, Zanker's diverticula are a pulsion diverticula. They're due to increased pressure during swallowing, and they're a false diverticula. They're located in the upper esophagus, generally kind of on the posterior wall. And then very kind of important point, they occur kind of between the pharyngeal constrictors and the cricopharyngeus, and it's due to a failure of relaxation of the upper esophageal sphincter, which is made of that cricopharyngeus muscle.
Yeah, and you know, that's just one thing that comes up. That triangle over there is called Killian's triangle. That's another thing that is often tested as well.
So how do these patients present? They're coming in usually with upper esophageal dysphagia, choking, halitosis, coughing, and regurgitation of non-digested food. Occasionally, these patients come in with those non-traditional symptoms that their primary complaints are aspiration pneumonia, ulceration, or bleeding. Here's kind of the first non-intuitive point about these, and that's that you really want to diagnose these by barium swallow. Remembering back to our last lecture that the most common site of iatrogenic perforation by EGD is the cricopharyngeus muscle, these diverticula are located right there, and so doing an EGD puts these patients at really high risk of perforation. So making sure that you're diagnosing this by a swallow and not on an EGD. Treating these, you really basically, there's a couple things you need to think about in order to how you're going to treat these patients. And there's two ways to treat this, either operatively or endoscopically. And here's our kind of second non-intuitive point, is that the size of these is what really dictates whether or not these patients are going to go open or endoscopic treatment. Generally, you think about smaller problems being treated endoscopically and then larger ones needing an open operation. This is exactly the opposite. So people with small diverticula need the open operation, and that's just because of the mechanics of the stapler you use to create a common lumen. Whereas those with larger diverticula can then have endoscopic treatment. So the magic number there is 3 centimeters. Less than 3 centimeter diverticula, you're going to need an open operation. Greater than 3 centimeters, endoscopic. So let's real quick run you through what the operative treatment looks like. So the operative treatment is called cricopharyngeal myotomy and diverticulectomy, or diverticulopexy. And so what you do for that is, remembering these are an upper esophageal diverticula, like we talked about last time, you want to do a left cervical incision over the anterior border of the left sternocleidomastoid muscle. Basically, move that sternocleidomastoid out of the way, make sure you can see the carotid sheath. Then you want to be able to enter the middle cervical visceral fascia, that's just medial to the carotid sheath, exposing your pharynx and esophagus by blunt dissection of all of that kind of fibrous tissue that's right there. You'll create a myotomy of the cricopharyngeus muscle. Again, thinking about the length of that is very important every time we talk about a myotomy. So you're going to go 1 to 2 centimeters of the inferior constrictor cephalad and then 4 to 5 centimeters caudally. So cricopharyngeus muscle is divided, making sure that you're avoiding the recurrent laryngeal nerves, which are going to be located on either side of that. Then you basically have two options, which is diverticulopexy, which is suturing the diverticula to the prevertebral fascia, basically folding it over so that the lumen is closed and nothing can enter it, or a diverticulectomy, in which you pull the diverticula away from the cervical esophagus and you divide it at the neck with a linear stapler, being very careful to not narrow the esophageal lumen. Again, that decision is largely made based on size. Smaller diverticula can be pexied, while larger diverticula, greater than 3 centimeters, are really going to need the diverticulectomy. Finally, you're going to close the defect between the inferior constrictor and the cricopharyngeus muscle, and then you're going to wrap up and be all done. For your endoscopic treatment, the exact mechanics of this is not highly tested, but you do need to understand that the goal of endoscopic treatment is to fire an endoscopic stapler in order to basically create a common lumen between the sac and the esophagus itself. So like we talked about, that's for those larger diverticula, and you also have to think about patients need to really be able to fully extend their neck because Zenker's diverticula are most common in older people. Patients who have had cervical fusions really aren't going to be candidates for endoscopic treatment there. Complications, anytime you're operating on the esophagus, you want to think about leak as a postoperative complication. Patients presenting with chest, back, neck pain, fever, tachycardia, crepitus in their neck basically should immediately be evaluated for leak by making those patients NPO, gastrograph, and swallow to evaluate that. Any esophageal fluid collections kind of associated with the leak should be drained, remembering that this is then a cervical esophageal perforation that you've created. And so those can mostly be managed by drainage, reopen the incision, stick a Penrose or a suction drain in there. Fistulas are a possibility of complication, and then all of your usual infections, wound infection, hematoma, bleeding.
Awesome. Okay, so let's go through some of these high points then. Number one, what's the difference between a traction and pulsion diverticulum? And what are the kind of typical traction and pulsion diverticulum that we think of?
So your traction diverticula are due to forces outside the esophagus, like tumor or inflammation, pulling against the wall. Your traction diverticula is the parabronchial diverticula. And then pulsion diverticulas are due to forces inside the esophagus pushing out against an area of weakness, and that's either the Zenker's or the epiphrenic diverticula.
Okay. And what's the difference between a true diverticula and a false diverticula? And which of the ones that we've talked about are true and which ones are false?
So true diverticula involve all the layers of the esophageal wall. Your true diverticula, again, is the weird one, the parabronchial diverticula. And then false diverticula involve only the mucosa and not all of the layers. And those are either the epiphrenic or the Zenker's.
Okay. And so just going kind of from top to bottom on the esophagus, which kind of diverticulum are you going to find where?
So top is your Zenker's, remembering that those occur pretty much between the pharyngeal constrictors and the cricopharyngeus. In the middle, you have parabronchials, and then lower, epiphrenic.
Okay. And for a Zenker's diverticulum, anatomically, where exactly is that going to happen?
So that's between the pharyngeal constrictors and the cricopharyngeus in that Killian's triangle.
Perfect. And then what are your two options in terms of surgical management for somebody with a Zenker's?
So you can either do endoscopic or operative treatment, depending on the size of the diverticula. And then your operative treatment, again, is further subdivided into either diverticulopexy, which is suturing the diverticulum to the prevertebral fascia to basically fold it closed, or diverticulectomy, which is pulling the diverticula away and stapling it off at the level of the esophagus.
Awesome. Okay. I think that's going to finish this one up. We'll see you for the next one.
You can find SurgeCast on Spotify or iTunes. Make sure you follow us on Instagram or Twitter @SurgeCastPodcast or find us at SurgeCastPodcast.com.